Right, 13 minutes to 11, and I'm looking out the window. It is bright, it is sunny, it's the sort of day where you think everything is well with the world, but it isn't, because if you have a close look at our streets in Belfast, you will see a significant number of people sitting in the doorways with a little box or maybe just a cap or something, and they're hoping that people are going to put money in the cap, and they'll speak to you on the way past. Sometimes they have their head down, sometimes they're asleep. Sadly, sometimes they're so intoxicated or under the influence of drugs that they're not even sure where they are. But should we be giving them money? The police reckon we shouldn't. I want to speak to Sandra Moore from the Welcome Centre. Sandra, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It's a sad picture, and I think it's a growing picture in Belfast, where we have people who... you're surprised at them sitting in the street. I know I've got a face that in the town people, not everyone, but a lot of people recognise from the television. And people will call me by my name as I'm walking past. Well, Frank, have you any money for me today? And it's sad to think that people that you almost know are sitting there at such a low ebb in their lives.
Yes, no, absolutely. And yes, certainly it would look as though the numbers potentially are growing on the street. However, we did a street audit about 3 years ago, and the begging situation in terms of numbers isn't actually that, hasn't changed actually that much, although people's perception is that it has, and it may be because of there may be a congregation, for want of a better term, in and around the city centre, and using... the same, you know, kind of venues, as you say, you nearly know the people. So the people have this impression that the situation is much worse than it is. However, my concern about the statement was the stereotyping. I mean, it specifically said that people would be using funding for drugs. It also said specifically Belfast City Centre, so the inference was it's okay to beg anywhere else, you know. But we were at the forefront of a campaign begging for change, as I said, in 2014. And that was, at that time, the right thing I still think to do. However, there have been so many changes since then. We have things like, well, social housing issues have got much, much worse, although not all of the people who would be on the street are homeless, I must say. Services are under pressure, drugs, alcohol, mental health services are all stretched. We have the benefit system. There's been dramatic changes whereby a lot of those who would be most vulnerable to not being able to manage any change in their income whatsoever probably could potentially end up in the street begging to just live on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's unfair to just kind of like stereotype without knowing exactly who's on the street and why.
Is it fair to categorise people? If I was to say we have the hoodwink beggars, they are the guys who arrive on a Saturday night with a sleeping bag and lie down close to where there's a lot of footfall and hope uh-huh. that money's going to be thrown towards them, and they, uh-huh. they're up and away as soon as they get maybe 20 quid gathered up. Then there's the overseas beggars who genuinely are down at heel, but seem to have an acceptance that begging is a way to get through life. And we have our local beggars who are becoming more and more obvious, and who are prepared, as you've suggested there, possibly to leave their own home and to come and sit in the city centre because there's money to be garnered from begging. Is it fair to have those three categories? Am I missing other categories?
Well, actually, you have to... it's a very, very complex issue. And to understand that issue is very, very difficult. You know, there is a common assumption that people who are begging, as we see yesterday, is to support a habit or whatever, a dependency. And, you know, it's... I don't think we can categorise people, but what we can do is see what the needs are of those people and try to address those needs.
In the short term, should we give them money?
Yeah.
in the short? Should we give them money as we walk past these people? And I hate even using the term they or them. You know, our neighbours. You know, they are our neighbours, and in some cases our friends. So should we be giving money to the people who we see sitting in the doorways?
It's entirely a personal choice. But what I will say is where campaigns have been successful in addressing the issue, they have been part of a broader response. I mean, we have a very successful campaign in Cambridge where those who were begging were engaged with, not just in terms of a law and order. It was more in a supportive way. Why are you on the street? Are you getting your adequate benefits? If you're not managing, why? Is it because you have debt? Is it because you have a dependency issue? But ideally, all of the services need to be there and available to make change, and I'm not sure they are in Belfast at the moment.
It's a very, very relevant point. It is a relevant point because we've touched on this a number of times. Sandra, thank you for your overview on it. I'm going to ask people what they think, but thank you very much for coming on the programme this morning.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Sandra Moore is from the Welcome Centre. It should be a personal choice. The police are suggesting we shouldn't be giving money to beggars. What do you do? Do let us know. 0289 033 105. Now, a number of you have been remarking on the PSNI's advice that we shouldn't give money to the residents of the city, whether they're permanent residents or visiting residents, who are begging. Aisling has a point that she wants to make about this. Aisling, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It's Eilish, rather. Eilish on line three. Eilish, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, Eilish, go ahead.
Frank, I work in the city centre, so I'm walking through the city centre every morning between 8 and half 8, and then again in the evening between half 4 and probably half 5. You know, and there are individuals in the city centre who I've got to know over time, just a wee bit like you said yourself there earlier, and these people are not, you know, there is, for me, there is no clear sign of addictions or anything like that. These people have really got a hard life. And when I read that PSNI post that came through Facebook, I was horrified. You know, the people that I see every morning, the people that I talk to every morning, you know, they're not doing that for because they've chose to do it. None of us do would have that kind of life if we chose to do it. Whatever has happened in their life has happened. But as human beings, are we supposed to walk past those people?
Well, as you say, we've spoken indeed to Sandra Moore from the Welcome Centre about this. The police do say, please, please stop, in capital letters, giving money to people you see begging on the street of Belfast City Centre. Sadly, evidence indicates that money given to those begging is often spent on drugs, making the problems worse. Now, that is a fact. Some people will be spending the money on drugs. Some people are spending the money on alcohol. Some may be spending it on paying the bills. But if we give money to those who sit in a doorway or who are looking at us as we walk past, does that not encourage more and more people to come if there's an income to be garnered from it?
I really think we need to go back to the beginning here, to the basics. Why are people sitting there in the first place? What help and support are they getting now? Because we have the Welcome Centre that does tremendous work, but we just don't have enough. There's not enough services there. I watched a documentary on Channel 5 there just before Christmas, and it was around this very question, homelessness in the United Kingdom. Is it all about drugs? And you know what? For something like 75% of the people that are homeless, it's not about drugs. It's about hardship. It's about things that happened in their lives that they've been left with no choice to do what it is they're doing. They actually talk about hostels when you meet some of the people in the street here in Belfast and you spend time talking to these people. They will tell you they will not go to certain hostels at night, because to go to them leaves them wide open and vulnerable, more vulnerable in the hostel than what they are in the street, and with regards to people who are in those hostels and the kind of threat that there is there.
You've taken time to speak to the people. Most people don't. They will flick a pound down from the edge of their thumb down onto the ground, or they might bend down and politely give the pound into the box, or they might say, you know, how are you, and just walk on. Most people don't involve themselves in conversation. Now, the Chief Inspector Gavin Kirkpatrick of the PSNI is saying that the appeal is not part of an official campaign, but was designed to stimulate debate around begging. And it certainly is stimulating that debate. He says, as our original post stated, evidence indicates that money given to those begging is often spent on drugs, and it does make the problem worse. I accept what you're saying, that there are those who are there who are maybe in a mental capacity, they feel incapable of doing very much else other than sitting and asking for money. They may not have any dependency on drugs whatsoever. But is it not better to talk to them and suggest to them they should get their benefits, because there are benefits available to them, steer them in the direction of something that isn't, and I use this word lightly, but it is an appropriate word, that isn't so degrading to them? Because to see a neighbour sitting on the street asking for money, it's one of the most degrading things that can happen to a person.
And Frank, tell me this is the big question. What is out there? There are limited services out there. You're saying that there's benefits out there. A person needs to have an address to be able to claim benefits. There is so many barriers out there for people who have got to this position in their life. I'm no expert. I am just a member of the public, you know, but I have taken an interest in this because I genuinely worry about the people that I walk past every morning and every afternoon. This morning, there's one particular man. This morning, I brought him over a sugary milky tea, and a ham roll, because I know he can't eat sausage rolls because he has been in and out of hospital with an ulcer. You know, I've got to know him to know, rather than give him a pound, he would prefer that cup of tea, to be honest. As he said to me this morning, it keeps him warm. His actual words to me yesterday was, you know, I worry about you. You need to be wearing a hat because you seem to be always cold. And that really touched me. You know, these are people, and they are people in need, regardless of what they're asking for money. Or let's say the right word here, begging for money for. They are people. And, you know, there's an old saying my mum used to say there, for the grace of God, not one of us know what the future holds for us. And I would like to think that there would be somebody out there just treating me as a human being that I am. And that I think it's shameful that we walk past people and we don't do anything about it.
Eilish, thank you very, very much indeed. I know some people will be saying, yes, that's what you should do. You should buy them a cup of coffee or buy a burger or whatever. But there's only so much coffee and burgers that people want. They need money. They absolutely need money. So, yes, on occasions you'll offer them like a snack or whatever, but they do. And that is a way around giving them the money. It's a very kind and generous thing to do. But as Eilish is saying, there's many, many needs that they have, not just food. Karen has a point that she wants to make. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Frank, I am one of those people, I'm ashamed to say, that would have put my head down and walked on past them. Now, not so much, because you read so much in the papers, on social media, regarding our veterans and the situation that they're in. I personally do not give them money. I have on occasion went into Primark, bought a wee gentleman a jumper, pair of long johns, things like that, because he's had a bottle of drink in his pocket, and I feel that if he can afford the drink, well then he can afford to do other things. I know about addiction, and that there's a subject that I'm not going to touch on. I'm no expert, but I feel when I see them with an animal, because you're a genuine animal lover, I have went and bought a meal deal with a sandwich, a cup of coffee and a cookie or a bag of crisps, and I've also bought a wee bag of dog food for that wee dog. And whenever I give that to that wee gentleman that day in Belfast, you'd have thought I handed him the winning lottery ticket for the week. So you did. You know, there has to be a certain amount of compassion, but on the same note, there also has to be, well, what would I do if it was me? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is an important question. If you stop to speak, as both of you have, if you stop to speak to the people, most people don't stop at all. Most people totally blank them out. But if you stop to speak, do you ask the question, would you like something to eat? Or if they say no, I don't need anything to eat, but they still have their hand out for the pound. Would you give them the money? Because they might need to eat later and they could spend the money on that. But most likely, he's saving up for that bottle of drink. So would you give money?
No. No. And I'll also say, and it might not be politically correct, I don't give to the foreigners either. Charity starts at home.
Seriously, you know, now let me push you on that, Karen, because this is important, and we need to emphasise. I have described indeed the opportunist beggar earlier in the programme, the guy who arrives and pretends he's a beggar, the bluffer, and they come from a variety of countries. Some of them may come from here, some of them may come from overseas. We're going to ignore those guys. These are the guys that arrive where there's a lot of footfall, set up a few sleeping bags, and try to fleece us. Now, if you keep a watchful eye on those guys, they're totally organised, they are very slick at what they're doing, and they make off with whatever money that fools give them. So you have to be careful of that. But there are people from overseas who are destitute, who are down at heel, and who are begging on our streets. Would you not give anything to those people?
No. No, because I feel that we have our own problems with our own people, our own cultures. We have as many destitute people of our own within the United Kingdom as what there is in a foreign country. There just seems to be certain countries, Frank, that no matter where you go, there always seems to be someone from that country begging. And I just think charity starts at home. Yes, I went and bought a cup of coffee, cup of tea, and the sandwich. And then recently, my dad and I, who's quite elderly, my dad took the wee man that was sitting in the doorway with a wee dog. My dad got out of the car and my dad spoke to him. Now, my dad gave him money. And I said to my dad, I don't give them money because if I can't afford to go and buy myself drink, well, then I don't see why I should fund somebody else's habit. And my dad's attitude was that wee dram at night could be the difference of life or death. Now, everybody thinks differently. You know, as you look at my dad and look at I, he think both differently on it.
Okay.
But my dad went over, spoke to him about the wee dog, and my dad says, could I buy you a cup of tea or coffee? And he says, no, thank you, but would you mind buying me a tin of dog food? So for that reason, I went into Dunn Stores and Corn Market, bought the wee bag of dried dog food, the sandwich, the cup of coffee, and the bag of crisps anyway. Yes. It cost me £10, but I actually felt, Frank, that I was doing more good by giving them substance as to giving them money for drink or drugs.
Okay, Karen, you sound like an incredibly generous person, but there's a very obvious question that I have to ask you, and it is as simple as this. Are you prepared to buy food for a hungry dog before you would buy food for a person from Romania or Africa?
Yes. I'm sorry, but that's just the way I feel. So it is. Just the way I feel. I just think that every country has their own people and their own problems, and their own government should be sorting it. It's not up to... for talk's sake, it would not be up to me to go to Spain because I'm destitute in the UK and I'm not getting what I want here, but because Spain could maybe give me a bit more in my pocket. No, I don't think so.
All right. Karen,
home in my book.
Okay. Listen, you've been absolutely clear in your assessment. I must say I'm shocked, to be honest, that we have people with Karen's mindset, and she sounds so incredibly thoughtful. She's stopping to speak to people who are in doorways. She is buying them jumpers. She is buying food for their dog. She is she's got a dad who's equally as generous, but she has a policy that she would feed the dog before she would feed a person from, the examples I used were a poor person from Romania or Africa, any of our African countries. I'm shocked. I maybe I shouldn't be, but Your opinions are very, very welcome. 028 90 333 105. What was the best number to get us on here on U105? And this on the back of the PSNI saying that we shouldn't actually be giving money to people who are begging in the street because it adds to the fueling of their drugs habit. Okay, you can pick up the phone. You can give us a ring right here, right now. 028 90 333 105. Double seven, double six, 105, 105. Whatever you want to say, we'll cover it for you here on U105.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Listening to you.